I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seemed to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm Jack Rathbourne. I'm assistant sports editor at The Independent, a languages graduate in Italian and Spanish, and former Serie A analyst at Football Radar. I'm joined by Grant James. He's a football coach currently doing his UEFA A license, has 6 years' experience doing analysis work for Prozone, and has worked in a coaching role at Ajax Cape Town. He's also spent 6 years consulting an English Premier League club's owner. Also with me is Will Dubay. He's a sports journalism graduate. He also worked at Football Radar covering the Bundesliga for 4 seasons. He's helped a consortium identify clubs for takeovers in the English Football League. And he eventually worked on a deal for Bristol Rovers, starting out as an opposition scout for the English club. Moving forward, he's worked in player recruitment as a recruitment analyst and senior scout over the last 4 years. In today's episode, we are going to talk about transfers, of course, in one of the most historic transfer windows for Chelsea. They spent over 200 million and counting, bringing in the likes of Hakim Ziyech, Ben Chilwell, Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, Thiago Silva and Malang Sarr. So we'll be going through each transfer one by one, how they fit in under Frank Lampard and the options and the versatility they bring to an already interesting side that pretty much transformed itself into one of the most entertaining teams in the Premier League, something which has previously eluded Chelsea for more than a decade. So we'll go through them one by one, and we'll start with the first through the door, Hakim Ziyech, who obviously joined much earlier in the summer from Ajax for 36 million. We'll start with you, Will. How do you see this signing? It obviously feels like a long time ago now, but no less prominent than the other big summer signings.
Yeah, no, I think it was the first thing that I think stands out. I think the fee was very sort of sensible fee. It was like what was it, 35 million, something like that?
36.
I think, you know, I've only really seen bits and pieces. I think in the last sort of couple of years, he's really stood out in the Champions League and in some of the games against the English sides. A lefty, which I think we've not had a sort of an inverted winger from that side for forever, really, since Robin and Duff, I suppose. I don't know, that might be wrong, I've said that, but I think it's a good signing. I think everyone sort of imagines him coming inside and Reece James, or well, more so Reece James sort of bombing on in the space he sort of vacates on that side. I think he's a little bit of he's a sort of high risk, high reward sort of player. I think he probably turns the ball over quite a lot. He might have to sort of adjust that coming to a club like Chelsea, where, you know, you give the ball away in the Premier League sort of at your peril. There's every single team's dangerous in transition. I think maybe at Ajax, you know, he was the guy they looked to, and he's going to have to share a little bit of the, you know, a lot of the play coming through him. I think that's going to be the case with a lot of the attacking players who are coming from clubs where they were the man, and now they sort of have to share some of that platform. So, no, I'm excited. I think he's obviously very sort of entertaining player. I think, Grant, you've got some reservations, I guess more so than me and Jack, that you've sort of shared with us before. I think,
yeah,
you don't quite see him being the shoe-in into the first 11 that some people have sort of stated that he might be.
I just think he might take longer to settle than someone like Timo Werner, because, you know, the Eredivisie, it's quite a nice league to play, and it's not that physical, but very open matches. It's going to be much more physical in the Premier League. Not only that, but he's taking Willian's place, and we're losing that defensive work on that right-hand side. And obviously, you're going to get a trade-off. He's going to almost certainly create more goals and probably score more goals. But I think he's more in the Mata mode when he played on the right. You probably have to kind of make some sacrifices elsewhere to cover his defensive work. He's not poor defensively, he's quite good at pressing, but actually, you know, staying out on the wing and tracking the fullback might be a bit of a challenge. When we play Liverpool second, he's going to face Robertson straight up. That's pretty demanding job. I mean, I've watched him a lot. I watched him in the Europa League final when Mourinho obviously beat Ajax, and Mourinho used man marking. He had Herrera following him all over the pitch, and he was playing in central midfield that day. He's basically one of three central midfielders, like a number eight, and he didn't really get a kick. He couldn't find space away from him. And yes, he has developed since then. Obviously, for us, I think he'll play on the right hand side, but he's played as a number 10 or was one of two 10s. I think he'll be similar to Bruno Fernandes at United. High risk, lots of through balls, lots of balls over the top. You'll give the ball away, but you'll probably end up with high assist numbers. I think it's a pretty much no-brainer for the price.
My first instinct with him is that he might become a player that's maybe taken out of the side for the big games. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be one of those players that, you know, helps, you know, when teams come to the bridge and they sit in and they frustrate. It's quite an unfussy sort of style. It's find a yard of space, put it into the back post, and you know, I think he'll have a big influence on helping us break teams down. But like you said, Grant, in the sort of physical, the big games, the physical games where it's lots of high intensity, lots of pressing, you know, you can see him sort of going away to Anfield maybe, and it might be a little bit overawed by that. And I do think, just from some of the stuff I've seen, I think he works hard, but it's a completely different level of intensity. I think he floats around with so much freedom, and I think that side is going to be key. We're going to have to sort of make some kind of change to sort of cover for his sort of positional freedom, as it were. So it might be that we go for a little bit more of a solid setup with maybe a little bit more pace, a little bit more direct on the break. I could see him you could see him coming out for big games and Mason Mount sort of coming in, and then maybe someone else plays on the right and Mason Mount plays from the left or something like that.
Yeah, I think it will be a real indicator that second game, which actually at Stamford Bridge, as to Lampard's, I guess his confidence in this group. He showed that already last season. I think despite the inconsistency, there was it was quite a brave approach in a lot of the big games. And I think Liverpool specifically on a couple of occasions were really given a game, even though they came out on top in a couple of them. I think Ziyech, you're right. I think there is going to be a trade-off there. But I think when you think the last season, perhaps Lampard's most useful player or most efficient, shall we say, certainly after the lockdown in Pulisic, coming in off that left, the way that he makes those runs into the box. I think when you give the ball to Ziyech, which we already saw in the friendly against Brighton, the way he's willing to sort of almost hoik the ball right over the top of the defence, it's not that subtle, or not as subtle as it can be. It's just very effective, and I think he can get a lot of joy out of Pulisic's runs over top. No less Werner as well, who we'll get onto in a little bit. So, but really interesting to see the faith Lampard shows in him, given the plethora of options. We'll move on to another attacking option. Just mentioned him, Timo Werner, who obviously can play number nine. He can play out on the left, should Lampard prefer to include Tammy Abraham or Giroud in the starting 11. What's it going to be first up, do you think, guys? Go to you, Grant. Initially, is it going to be a role as the number nine?
Yeah, it does look that way. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I don't want to see Abraham sidelined and his you know, all the progress he's made actually, you know, be curtailed, because I think he'd link up quite well with Timo Werner, and it'll be a pity if that happens. But I think Werner's going to be the nine initially. Obviously, that's exciting. We have more pace. If we're playing against teams sitting in, it's not necessarily going to be that helpful. But he has got this brilliant shot with both feet, so in and around the box, you know, taking a touch and just striking, you can see him scoring a lot of goals. And I think if we go away to the big sides and having him as a nine, I mean, I think we can be deadly on the break. Think of him and Pulisic, you know, Pulisic's goal against against City, and then we saw, you know, Giroud starting some of the big games as well as he did. You know, you can't, you're not going to have Maestro in behind. You've got Van Dijk, you know, defending on the halfway line. With Werner there, you know, he's going to do that at his peril. I'm the most excited about him in terms of like hitting the ground running, because obviously he's like Ziyech, he's trained with the, you know, with the side for a few weeks, came off an amazing season. Obviously he scored already, he's scoring for Germany. He's just kind of, he's in the swing of everything already. Yeah, I think he's the one that might have the biggest impact in the first 3 months of the new signings.
And you will, what combination do you think Lampard will choose, which presumably, well, will certainly include Werner from the start?
Yeah, well, I think Grant sort of got it spot on. And based on the first friendly, I think we're probably going to discuss that closer to the Brighton game. But he was, you know, I think he'll be used in the middle on his own up front. I think we've got a lot of players, a lot of other attacking players that can sort of arrive into the space that he sort of vacates. I think he likes to drift and roam around and pull out to the channels, drop off deep. I think that's going to be, I think that'll be the plan A. I'm really excited about him. I watched a lot of him when he was a young kid at Stuttgart, and there he was kind of a very raw, pacey winger, just, you know, absurdly fast, like fast, you know, kind of had that raw, like 18, 19 year old speed, probably a little bit quicker then than he is now, because he's sort of filled out a little bit. And, but yeah, I mean, he's changed completely. I mean, he's developed his game so much. It feels like he's been around forever because he burst through so young at Stuttgart. But I think he's pretty complete. I mean, I think he might struggle a little bit with, you know, some of the hold up play. I think he's going to have lots of centre halves sort of kicking him up in the air. But he's very clever. He sort of always gets his body across, gets fouled a lot. And I just think that if he's as good as I think he might be, and I think he's sort of at that peak age, like 25, 24, turning 25 this season. I do think, I mean, I love Tammy, and I thought he was probably top three players last season in terms of player of the season shots. But I do think he might struggle for game time if he's as good as I think he is. And when he's played in a two for Leipzig, because obviously I think they played sort of the 4-2-2-2 formation, or he's played in a 3-4-3 to the left, quite narrow. He's played off of a big target man centre forward, quite similar to Giroud. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if they are to go with a two, which I don't really think we will much, you know, you would probably imagine Werner preferring to play with Giroud, because I think he would probably get more out of playing with Giroud than he would Tammy. But I mean, you know, it's a long season. There's lots of games, but I just think, I don't know, with the Euros coming around next summer, I think Tammy might in January. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to look that far into the future. You never know. And I think the thing is with Tammy, his mentality is so strong. I think he'll back himself, and he'll think that when he gets his chance, he can play so well that maybe Werner gets moved out wide, or maybe, you know, Frank changes it and goes to two up front, and it's Tammy and Werner. But I don't know. I think this guy is really sort of at the peak of his powers. And like Grant said, I'm sort of expecting him to come in straight away and really, you know, score goals and really have a big impact right from the off.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think at 24 as well, I mean, it's just the perfect signing to just come in and instantly upgrade a team, which I think last season had created plenty of chances. I think one of the main weaknesses, which eventually got corrected somewhat, was the inability to capitalise on fast starts. Chelsea quite often would not even just fail to break the deadlock, but come into games, dominate the first 20 minutes. 1-0 up should have been 2-3, but then they'd allow teams to come back into it. And I think Werner will add that ruthlessness. Certainly last season, getting 34 goals in all competitions is a decent haul. And I think at 47 million, somebody that is pretty much as guaranteed as it gets without buying the absolute finished product with five plus years in the Champions League. And I think this is about as good as Chelsea could get at 47 million. I think it's going to help having Rudiger there, another German international, but obviously can't go much longer without discussing the most expensive signing this summer, and not quite a club record. I think it's fair to say it's 72 million. But Kai Havertz, I think another German international, is presumably going to be working pretty close with Werner. I think, how do you see those two dovetailing, Grant? Maybe not in the initial few weeks, given the proximity of the signing from Leverkusen, but certainly over the coming months, that is going to be a pattern which ultimately defines whether Lampard's Chelsea take a big step or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Will's been watching him a lot since the restart, and it's kind of like imploring the club to make a move. So when we suddenly step in to buy him, I'm sure, she's pretty delighted by that. I mean, he's another lefty. He's got height, both things we need in the side. He's very versatile. He's played on the wing, but I can't see that happening in our side. I mean, it's one thing as well. Him and Ziyech do take up fairly similar positions, even though they do different things when they get the ball. Mm-hmm. They do like to play in that inside right, in that half space there. So it's interesting to see if they play together, if we end up sort of like we did with Di Matteo, where we have three players floating behind the striker, maybe even four players floating if Werner's the nine, and just have like Havertz, Ziyech, Pulisic, Werner, just all moving all over the pitch. It'll make the job even harder for Kante than it's going to be already in the midfield. But yeah, I think that's maybe how we do it, just to give a lot of freedom to players. Obviously, he's a very exciting signing. I think Werner might be more equipped to immediately deliver because of the fact that he's trained for so long. But I wouldn't be surprised if Havertz starts the first game. There's some pressure for that to happen. I mean, he's the record signing. People want to see him play. Mount hasn't been training with Chelsea because he's been on England duty and in quarantine. Barkley's injured. Loftus-Cheek's, I think, still a bit off the pace. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he's straight in. We just let him settle by playing and see how he links up with his German teammate.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the versatility there. Obviously, once the Bundesliga was like the first league to come out after lockdown, we saw him play as a number nine as well. So, there's just like endless potential with this player, I think. You mentioned Will is especially keen on Havertz. I'd implore anybody listening to go to Will's Twitter at Dubai Will, where there's a pretty extensive thread on everything that he can do for Chelsea and everything he has done for Leverkusen. To summarise briefly, Will, what are the key points you've noticed since watching him closely?
He's sort of an unusual player because, you know, usually you associate kind of young sort of star players to be, you know, more in the Sancho mould, sort of catch the eye straight away. They get the ball, they engage their man, they take them on. But he does all of his sort of best work off the ball. You know, he's like a real fascinating player to watch. You know, he mature way beyond his years in terms of how he finds space and how he's selfless and the way the runs he makes. He's always thinking about space and teammates. And I think... When he's played up front since the restart, I don't like this term, but he was definitely playing as a false nine. You know, he's dropping really, really deep, vacating loads of space for the pacey sort of wingers at Leverkusen to run in behind. So I can't see him being used there. I think he's going to be used. You know, it makes most sense to sort of use him close to Werner, where Werner sort of floats around. He floats out to the channels, he drops off deep, and Havertz likes to arrive in the box. And he arrives sort of with real purpose and real intelligence. And I think that's probably the closest, there's some similarities with Lampard. I mean, the similarities with lots of players. I think he's been compared to so many different players, Ozil, Balak, Lampard. I mean, and these are all players that are very different. And I think that just sort of tells you how well-rounded he is. But I think you watch him play, and if you squint and you don't see quite how like slight he is, you'd think you're watching sort of a very mature Champions League level attacking midfielder. You know, I think his potential is so high. So I think that's why Chelsea were sort of happy to pay the fee that they have in the end. But I think he'll probably be used, if we play a 4-2-3-1, he'll be used sort of in and around Werner, and those two sort of linking up. It could be really exciting. Or obviously we saw Frank move to a 4-3-3 sort of just before lockdown. and we were very successful with that sort of formation against Liverpool and then Everton before the lockdown with Barkley and Mount. So, you know, I think you could, in certain games, you could see Kante playing in that deeper role that he was used in during the restart, and then maybe Mason Mount and Havertz sort of ahead of him. And that, you know, that's a very attacking formation, but it could be one of those where some games we come out flying, pressing really high, or, you know, pushing the defensive line up really high, and, you know, just trying to really sort of kill teams off early. And then with the threat you've got on the break, if you score first, we're going to be very, very dangerous in sort of picking teams off with Pulisic and Werner and Havertz. So it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how him and Werner link up, because in my mind, it could work. You know, you can imagine it working really, really well. And obviously with them both being German and sort of by all accounts being quite good friends, it's exciting. But I don't think it's quite the sort of the death of Mason Mount that some people have sort of made out. I think Loftus-Cheek, I do worry for Loftus-Cheek. I think Havertz signing potentially, you know, it's going to make it really hard for him to find games, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think if you saw him, you know, he's only used a handful of times in the restart, but he, you know, didn't look right. And it's understandable. He's had that really bad injury. He's been out for a long time. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him go out on loan, maybe towards the end of the window. I just can't see where the games are going to come from him. And you know, I mean, the only way he sort of gets a run of games is if there's a real injury crisis, which if you follow Grant's Twitter, you might think that there is potential for that. But I think the difference is Barkley, I think, is happy to be a squad player. He's happy to maybe not play as many games. Although saying that, he'll have his eye on a place in the Euro squad as well. So, you know, I don't know. I think there could be a lot of departures at Chelsea, and that sort of attacking midfield area is pretty overloaded now, especially when you consider that Ziyech can play in there as well. It's a bit overloaded, and I think you're potentially going to see at least one, maybe two players depart.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's pretty exciting just in terms of a production standpoint, the way that these players have been thrown in. And like I said before, with Werner, you've got 34 goals arriving in the shape of Werner. You've got Havertz, obviously, I think had in, what did he have, like 18 goals in all competitions last season. You've got Ziyech, who produced 16 assists last season and averaged in the Eredivisie almost 3.7 key passes a game. So you've got the ingredients there alongside Pulisic, who we know has taken an enormous step over the last few months of the season. Certainly there's unlimited potential there, especially in the way Lampard plays. He's certainly not going to sort of padlock any potential in the attack. A lot of the success will be defined by what they do at the back. And I think one of the signings which was imperative for Lampard was a new left back. It really did become apparent throughout the season that he trusted Marcos Alonso and Emerson even less so. And that has all led to Ben Chilwell joining noticeably much cheaper than it was initially thought of, at 45 million or there or thereabouts. Is it almost like a slam dunk, like plug and play left back for you, Will? I would start with Grant, actually. In terms of, like, you put him in there, have you got no worries about the upgrade he'll provide at left back?
I think he provides an upgrade on Alonso, but I wouldn't say, I think it's about a 10 or 15% upgrade. And I mean, I'm not as down on Alonso as other people. I'm certainly not, I don't love him as much as Will does. But there were, you know, there were games where we were playing at home and I was playing Alonso at left back. Yeah, it's not his best position. He's better as a wing back. We all know that. He doesn't recover very well and he's not the best 1v1 defender, but he brings more goals to the team when he plays. So for certain games last season, it was a no-brainer to have him in the side. You see Newcastle at home, we score a late goal. He gets the winner. So I think Chilwell is an upgrade, but I do like him. And I think it was a year ago we were talking about, you know, about this position, and I was saying, yeah, Chilwell's the one I want. He's very quick, great delivery, great cutbacks. You could see him linking up really well with Pulisic cutting him and him going on the outside. I just think, yeah, I shouldn't write Alonso off, because if there are games with the back three, I think he could be useful. And I mean, Chol's got this plantar fasciitis foot injury, and he's probably like 2 or 3 weeks away from being back, or at least a couple of weeks from full training. So the start of the season, we're going to need someone else to play that position. And yeah, I just think I have seen Chilwell have very, very tough games. I saw him against Mahrez, just gets, he was basically done 6 ways to Sunday. And against Liverpool, he struggled. He had a game against Southampton. He had a tough game and he was dropped. He definitely had a real dip in form, but December last season. But yeah, with his age, he's obviously knows a lot of the players in the squad. You can see he's got a really good social, you know, like with Tammy Abraham introducing, you know, like welcoming to the club. He clearly knows these players from England duty. I think he'll fit in really well off the field. Yeah, he's going to be first choice. My point is just that I don't think he's a massive upgrade on Alonso. He's an upgrade, but 15%, 20%. And maybe down the line, as he gets more experienced and gets a bit more refined in his defending, I think we'll obviously have a great left back for the next 8-9 years. I mean, I know Will loves Alonso, but yeah, the dynamism of Chilwell is going to be amazing in this team. We're going to have so much speed, it's going to be very difficult to stop. I mean, up that left-hand side is going to be, with Pulisic, Werner pulling out there. It looks something that's going to be deadly.
We all know that Alonso is going to be in the team by Christmas, scoring big goals, out ball for on the halfway line. We know that's going to happen.
Yeah, who knows?
I do think it's in the back four. It's definitely a bit of an upgrade. I think he had a funny season last year, like you sort of touched on there, but. No, I do like him. I think he's quite, he's like a modern fullback. He gets up and down, super fit. He's actually a really good athlete, real good shape and size, quite powerful, good in the air. He's a good all-round fullback, I think. Good all-round modern-day fullback, I think. I actually think because I've watched more of Leicester during the restart because we were linked with him so much because I wanted to sort of focus in on him. And I do think they really don't protect their fullbacks. It seems like something that's built into Rodgers' system. I don't know. It just seems like their fullbacks get hung out to dry so often. They get left 1v1 with no one inside them, no support behind them. It's quite bizarre. I don't think any fullback wants to get left like that. I think obviously there were games where even if he was isolated, you've got to do better. I think you pointed out the Mahrez game. I think at Liverpool we had an absolute nightmare at Anfield.
Yeah.
But I think that was more kind of on the ball. He was just kind of just his head went. I don't know whether he might be a bit of a streaky player and he might be a bit of a confidence player. Obviously every player is a confidence player, but he seems to kind of go a little bit up and down. I think he might need to, you're going to have to be start for Chelsea every single week as a fullback. You're going to have to be very consistent, sort of Azpilicueta, the prime example of that. That's how you sort of keep your place as a fullback at Chelsea. But I think he's, and the other thing I would say as well, I don't think Leicester allow too much freedom from their fullback sort of getting forward. I think he's going to be given a lot of license to get forward on the left. So I think it's a good signing. Look, his age, I think it's not a bad price. We know what fullbacks tend to go for now if you're signing a good fullback from a good Premier League team. So it's another good bit of business. Maybe doesn't jump off the page quite as much as some of the other signings, but I think, you could look back on this one and say if he can find that consistency and he can perform like he can for, the next 6 or 7 seasons, then it's a brilliant, brilliant signing. So
Yeah, definitely. I think it's quite interesting how his breakthrough, at least in the Premier League, I think made a couple of appearances in the Cup before, coincided in the same season that Alonso arrived at Chelsea. And we've talked about the complete overhaul in terms of the goals that are coming into the side from an attacking point of view. But Alonso, lest we forget, has been like an absolutely vital source of goals. Yeah, over 4 seasons for Chelsea, I think 22 goals in all competitions, pretty remarkable. And especially when you consider some of those were match winners in derbies. So I think you might slightly lose that. Chilwell in comparison, just 4 goals since he broke through in all competitions, his career, but 3 last year. I think we all agree that he's probably got a lot of potential to consistently bring a few from that side. And I think just the way, I think you mentioned, Grant, the cutbacks, I think, will be almost as important as anything he brings. And he's got a bit of a cool head in that final third. I think he puts the ball in the box with a bit of zip. There's a crispness to the way he crosses the ball. And at the other end, I think defensively, this is a player who, I mean, defends his back posts very smartly. I think that's something that has let Chelsea down throughout the last year or so, certainly from a defensive point of view. When set pieces, I think you'll see an upgrade there. I think that spatial awareness will maybe isn't picked up quite as much in a player like him when he's playing for Leicester, but over time when he plays 20, 30, 40 games for Chelsea, I think you're going to see the impact he has there, because obviously last season it was a bit of an Achilles heel at the back for Chelsea, right across the back four at times. But another significant signing in Thiago Silva, coming in on a free 1+1 year deal from PSG. Grant, do you think this is someone who can sort of almost act as a bridge towards Lampard's ideal back four, maybe in a year or two?
Yeah, it does seem that way with his age. 1 year deal, maybe next summer reassess, see if we can get one of our real targets. But, you know, 2022 World Cup, he wants to be playing for Brazil and Qatar. So if he can, you know, if he had a couple of good seasons, that's what he's aiming for, to actually be in that squad. So I think he's got a lot to offer. And I think this is quite a brave move for him, because if this goes downhill, his legacy, his career is kind of tainted a bit. Coming to a really fast league is for the first time at 36. I think it's brave, and it's pretty much a no-brainer in that we couldn't get any of our targets. Koulibaly, 29, is probably just a little bit too old for us to spend that sort of money, especially with the other outlays we've had this summer. For City, it's a bit different. You know, that's the one position they're going to spend big on. I think we're going to look for maybe a big top centre-back in a year's time. And it makes sense to have Thiago for a year to guide some of the younger players. Lampard doesn't seem to have real faith in any of the other defenders. Maybe Rudiger aside, who he picks pretty much whenever he's available. But Christensen's been a bit in and out. Tomori, we know, wasn't used at all, basically, after January. Zuma also had a long spell at the side after playing really well, sort of in the August to November sort of spell. He also had a long period out of the team. He came back at the end of the season, had a really good finish to the season. I mean, even that Bayern game, if it wasn't for him, we could have really taken a thrashing. He had made some massive interventions there. Even if people had that cup final goal in their minds where he got beaten easily. I mean, yeah, but the point I'm making is that I don't think Lampard really has faith in any of them. Except Rudiger. So getting Thiago Silva as his partner, maybe keeping, you know, two of the others as the backups. The one thing I do have is, obviously, this is going to be a very busy season with the scheduling. Any 36-year-old is going to struggle to play two or three times a week. So I think maybe we might see him playing in the Champions League, setting up the league game of the weekend, you know, kind of managing him carefully along when the schedule gets very, very compressed. And also off the field as well, having that leadership is going to be useful with William gone. You know, Lampard kept talking about how the players looked up to him, and Giroud as well. So having extra bit of leadership in the dressing room could be quite useful. Having said that, his pace has gone a bit. We see him; he drops quite deep on the edge of the box. Whether he can defend with a high line is debatable. I think you see he sort of protects himself by dropping as deep as he can, not lying that space behind him. Obviously, we still see he's got reasonable sprinting speed. We saw, you know, we'll send a clip through of him beating Eden Hazard in a sprint race, although it's post-injury, post-Fuberger Hazard probably. But yeah, so I have a few doubts about whether he can play a high line. But the leadership, maybe he steps in alongside one of the younger guys. Who knows, maybe Christensen will suddenly look the defender we've always expected with someone like him next to him. Who knows? So yeah, I think it's pretty much a no-lose situation for Chelsea. If he's not particularly good, we have enough depth there to not to use him as often as we, you know, we're not forced to use him that often.
Definitely. And Will, obviously lined up Thiago, that is, on the right side for PSG, Kimpembe playing left side, centre-back. Do you see that continuing under Lampard? And if so, who do you see as the initial partner? Perhaps Rudiger, I guess, given his time at Rome and obviously Thiago's formative years in Europe at Milan, I guess there may be some common language, I guess, in both of them probably speak a pretty good Italian. Who do you see as the initial partner for Thiago?
I think stylistically, you would probably, the most natural fit would probably maybe be him and Zuma. But I think obviously Rudiger is, you know, maybe a bit more established in the squad. I think Lampard likes his personality. We know he struggled last season, but we also know that he can be an excellent defender. I think, you know, the year before he was very good under Sarri with alongside Luis. I think either of those two, I mean, obviously Thiago Silva's going to need a lot of pace next to him. You know, we're going to need to probably protect him a little bit. I think, you know, there's instances when I was watching the PSG games where he's still playing quite a high line. but he, yeah, like Grant says, he tends to drop right in. So we might, I don't know whether we're going to be able to sort of, we've got these ideas of playing ultra attacking football and saying that the line on halfway line. I'm not sure when Thiago Silva plays, whether even if the game plan is to do that, I don't think when we're out on the pitch, he'll allow that. Because I think his instinct is to sort of protect himself and sort of get the team in, get them organised. And I think he does that still excellently. I mean, some of the Champions League games, and these are obviously the highest level club games you can play, he was excellent. Defends his box brilliantly, always in the right position, constantly talking. I think the biggest thing he's probably going to bring is the vocal side of things. And like Grant said, I mean, I think he can speak about five languages or something. So yeah, it won't be a problem communicating with Rudiger or Zuma. But I think maybe Zuma, but I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of departures. I wouldn't be surprised to see two of the centre-backs go.
Yeah. Well, Hangzhou could act as a fourth or maybe fifth choice centre-back, I guess, if he doesn't go out on loan.
I think he'll go out on loan, but I think, I wouldn't be shocked to see Tomori go out on loan. I think that's been quite widely reported. And then maybe even Zuma to go as well. And then maybe Declan Rice comes in and can cover the two positions. I don't know. I just think that there's going to be a lot of movement as you edge towards the window. I'd like to see Zuma stay. I think he's sort of perfect sort of squad player. Mm-hmm. You know, good for the league. And he's suited to the Premier League. And I think we'd really miss just that aerial ability, someone to come in for certain games, you know, Burnley away, games like that. So I would say Zuma, but I do think it's, you know, you probably what's going to cause less upset in the dressing room, would be Rudiger and Thiago Silva. But I agree with Grant. I don't think, he's not going to play every game. You know, you're going to have to rotate him. So maybe there'll be, I think next summer's probably a big summer for centre-backs. I think there's going to be loads of clubs in for Upamecano, unless he goes to United in this window, but I don't think that'll happen. I think he'll probably stay there and wait for everyone to queue up and pay him an absolute fortune off the back of probably a good season where that release clause kicks in. Mm-hmm. And obviously with the fee that the clubs are going to pay, he's probably going to get himself a nice signing on fee on top of that. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for him to sit there. And I was a bit off on him, but I think sort of more watching more and more games, I think he is, you know, probably he's the next big European centre-half. And I think if we can put in the groundwork, obviously with a club we've got a good relationship with anyway, by the sounds of it, with obviously the Werner deal sort of seemed like it's pretty straightforward. Ampadu went there on loan. So maybe Thiago Silva, there's a bit of rotation with the centre-halves, a little bit like last season, but we're a little bit more organised. And hopefully we bring in a giant goalkeeper, which can sort of mask a lot of the problems we had last season as well. Yeah. And then we move for someone like Upamecano or someone else who emerges after another season. And then, but no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, he's a player I love. You know, I've loved watching him for years. So it's one of those things. A little bit, I think I said to you guys, it's a little bit like how, obviously a completely different position, but a little bit how like Eto'o came for that year towards the end of his career. I love watching him play, and He's one of my favourite players. And even though he'd slowed up, you know, he's still just absolute class. Like, and I'm still adamant that if he would have stayed fit that season, we would have won the title. Because I think he was still at that age, so far ahead of Torres and even Barr at the time. But yeah, so hopefully we can just get like a nice, good, solid season where he can help some of the, like you say, Christensen develop. But I'm not convinced about that. I'm not his biggest fan. But yeah, and I think it's a smart signing. I think every single signing is either, you know, we've got good prices on players that make loads of sense, or we've spent big money on players like Havertz that could be around, you know, for 10 years, and it's a huge statement signing. And then, you know, there's a couple of smart signings as well, and there could be maybe one more sort of really smart signing in the goalkeeper, but we'll maybe save that for another time. But yeah,
definitely. We've covered pretty much each of the main signings pretty significantly. Malang Sarr, I guess. But the last thing on that Thiago signing, Grant, which I think could be quite an interesting trend throughout the season, is given the vulnerability perhaps with the pace, does his arrival and the amount of games he'll need to play to certainly shore up that back line and make sure that Lampard's side are a bit more protected? Do you see that stunting the development of Reece James? Because you may need to play Azpilicueta. I guess he will be the incumbent at right back anyway, but obviously he's played right centre-back a lot, and I guess if he can tuck in slightly closer to Thiago, you obviously got Chilwell, who maybe not quite as attack-minded as Alonso, but he's certainly going to be asked to get forward and contribute plenty to that final third, as we've already outlined. So Is that a bit of a concern, maybe? James, perhaps a casualty in terms of the other players further forward but have to play?
I'm not sure that'll be the case. You know, if I saw Chelsea youth talking about Reece James' best position being as a right centre-back in a three, where he played in the youth teams, sort of stepping up into those Azpilicueta positions when the ball's on the far side, sort of being on the blind side, getting a little switch, and being basically an extra midfielder. So I think James could do that. Of course, if you have Ziyech on the right, you need someone to provide the width. So that's fine balancing act. And we haven't actually, unless you have Callum on the right and you have him hugging the touchline, you probably do need James going forward. But I think he could probably play a role where he sort of tucks inside as an inverted fullback. And when we have counterattacks to deal with, he's sort of tucked in next to Kante, and he's just protecting Thiago Silva. But I think as well, if we do try to play a back three in certain games, because it's not ideal, because then you only have three attacking spots and we have such a plethora of options there. But if we play a back three, you'd think Thiago will be in the middle of that. It does leave us a bit short of options on the sides, because yeah, Rudiger can play left centre back and Azpilicueta right centre back, but not really anything beyond that. You know, Christensen and Zuma would play in the middle of that back three, or pretty much nowhere. You wouldn't really want either of them on the sides. And if Tomori goes as well, you lose one option as a side centre back. So, yeah, it's quite interesting to see. I don't think James will be. I think he'll still rotate, you know, quite a lot with Azpilicueta, and we'll play a back three in certain games. For example, that Liverpool game, I wouldn't be surprised if we go to a back three for that game. It's the second game of the season. It gives us a bit more, you know, a bit more of a solid side. Thiago Silva maybe in the middle, maybe he's making his debut there because he might not necessarily be ready for Brighton. And it's not too difficult just to sort of plug him in. You've got Rudiger and Azpilicueta either side. I think it works quite well. And then James is a wing back. I think that could work well. And then maybe Ziyech finds himself on the bench, or he plays in that Willian role as the sort of inside right. And then maybe Mount and Werner to complete that. If obviously with Havertz around, it's quite difficult to find enough spots for all these players. It's interesting, but I think if you look a year from now, so Thiago Silva will be out of contract with a year option. Christensen will be down to 1 year. Rudiger will be down to 1 year. Tomori, you'd think, would be back from a year's loan and a bit more experienced. Mark Gihai is obviously coming back from Swansea, and he's really been impressive in the last 7 or 8 games of the season. So I think it would be sort of a season of stop-gapping again, not really knowing who Lampard rates or what the long-term plan is. But in a year's time, we'll have to make decisions. And probably either sell or renew Christensen and Rudiger and Thiago Silva.
Absolutely. It's, Yeah, I think we've done well there. We've gone through absolutely prolific summer transfer window for Chelsea. And I think, I mean, the total spend might not stop there, as we've alluded to, with the potential for Mendy joining, and who knows, maybe there's time for one more in Declan Rice if the back four gets reshuffled again. But I think it's just time for maybe some expectations. We'll cover the Brighton game in a bit more detail nearer the time, and perhaps go over with a bit more idea on our starting 11s and how we envisage the team lining up in games against sides like Brighton, perhaps changing towards games against Liverpool, which is obviously the second game of the season. So, yeah, just the final thoughts, guys, on this season, expectations. What would be a success? Start with you, Will.
I think last season was obviously, I think, hugely successful. It just would have been, it's just a shame what happened in the FA Cup. Obviously, it's such a fine line. You know, I think certain things went against us in that game. But if you go and win an FA Cup and get top four, it's an incredible season given the circumstances. I think next season it's always to win a trophy at Chelsea. Got to try and win a trophy. I think if we, how many points did we get last season? 60, high 60s, low 70s, something like that. I mean, I think we just need to cut that gap. You know, no one's expecting us to go and win the title. I don't even really think, you know, no one's really expecting us to sort of really challenge for the title. But I think 66 points. We got 66 points. So, I mean, that's a, considering, you know, to win the league nowadays, you've got to get 95 plus points to win the title. I think the aim this season is to get up into the 80-point mark. You know, if we can get low to mid 80s in terms of the points tally and quite comfortably finish in the top four as opposed to leave it to the last day, I think that would be a real successful season. If you look at the way Liverpool sort of did it that year that they got to the Champions League final and lost, I think that season they were about 80 odd points, and then the year after they took the big step and really kicked on. So I think with that, we've got to kind of have that in mind, that you need to see real progress, which I think, given the players that we signed, you think that would be inevitable. But I think you've really got to try and lift the points tally massively and try and win a trophy, try and win the FA Cup and get further in the Champions League. We haven't done anything in the Champions League for so long. Well, since we won it, we've not. And the semi-final, I think we had one semi-final with Jose. We played about 9 defenders or something in the second leg. We had horrendous injury problems, I think. It was a funny game, but since Munich, we've only had one semi-final, and then it's just been either Europa League or getting knocked out in the group stage or just going out in the second round. So a run in the Champions League would be unbelievable. If, you know, semi-finals of the Champions League, that would be great. But I think the main goal has to be to just try and hunt down Liverpool and City as best we can and get into the 80 points or bracket. That would be a real successful season for me.
And you, Grant?
Yeah, we've made all these signings and we have the shortest pre-season in the history of the Premier League, like pretty much no pre-season, and the least training time. So yeah, my expectations are tempered a little bit by that. I would say finishing third would be what, you know, the very least. Scraping to the top four, I think, would be pretty disappointing considering we did that last season already. I think the top three, of course, you have some small ambitions that we can make a bit of a tilt at the title. Actually winning it, I think, very little chance, especially with two teams to get it, you know, to get above. If Liverpool have a slightly off season, I think, you know, there's still City that are going to get 90 odd points. So actually winning it, I think, is miles away, at least 1 year away from a title challenge, a realistic one, but you always have that ambition. The other thing as well, I don't think anyone really knows. I've seen some of the pundits, Gary Neville's got us outside the top four. I see Daniel Sturridge's got us having to challenge for the title or it's a failure. So it's hard to agree on what expectations are fair. I mean, I think the media will say Lampard should challenge for the title. But I think if we finish third, get to Champions League quarterfinal, maybe a semi-final, possibly win a domestic cup, especially with our depth, you know, you can see us putting out strong teams in the Carabao and maybe going all the way in that. I think even strangely enough, like a few big wins at home, playing some good football, not losing to, you know, the Southamptons and West Hams at home. I think that's also something to aim for. And I think also just sort of building a bit more, because last season, we might have a new goalkeeper, a new centre-back, a new left-back, a new number 10, a whole new attack. We can't really use a lot of what we built last season this season. So I think actually creating some momentum between a starting lineup and five or six regular subs or rotation options, and kind of building that chemistry, I think that would be what I'd strive for.
A bit of a team identity. I think we sort of, last season, I don't think Frank really saw too much between any of the players. And I think that's a little bit of an indictment of the experienced players that are in the squad, but also how well the young players did, that they kind of closed that gap to the squad being quite, you know, not a big difference between when you're rotating players. So I think you want to see big players emerge. You want to see the untouchables start to emerge and, you know, start to build a side that can actually go and win the title and, you know, in the next two or three years, maybe.
Definitely. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll be back soon with, as I said, a closer look at the Brighton game. Obviously, the second meeting between the sides in a matter of a few weeks, but this time it matters for real. So, this has been the inaugural episode of Powerful Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I've been Jack Rathbone. Thanks for listening.